Call the meeting to order. Right?
Yep.
Our next public hearing is subdivision 2006-52 LT Associates.
This is an application to consider the subdivision of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district in Lewis and Rehoboth 100, Sussex County, by dividing 119.14 acres into 242 lots. This is an environmentally sensitive developing district overlay zone application. It's located southeast of Road 267 and south of Hawk's Eye and Wolf Run subdivisions. The technical advisory committee report of March 21st of 07 will be made a part of the record. When the application was filed on August 7th of 2006, the applicant submitted an exhibit or a development report. On December 17th, the applicant submitted an exhibit booklet. Each of you have been provided a copy with that. That'll be made a part of the record. And we have received letters from the Citizens Coalition, Mike Tyler, Tiffany Derrickson, Plan Delaware, signed by Richard Anthony, Susan Marbury, David Greer, and Nadine Wick. These are all in opposition. I've passed down copies of those, and they'll all be made a part of the record. That's all I have, unless you have any questions, Mr. Chairman.
All right, sir, we thank you. Then the chair recognizes Mr. Schrader.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Dennis Schrader. I'm an attorney from Georgetown, Delaware, and I represent the interests of LT Associates, who are the applicants for the subdivision that is before you this evening. I'd like to introduce some people that I have with me tonight. I have Mr. Paul Townsend, who is a member of LT Associates and will speak for the ownership group. I have Tom Ford from Land Design, who will be our principal presenter this evening. And I have Steve Cabe, who is an engineer with George Miles and Bureau of Salisbury, who will address matters relating to sewer and central water. As you're aware, and as Mr. Abbott has pointed out, we have previously submitted, in accordance with the rules of this body, an exhibit book that has a table of contents identifying the senator's project, providing you with a project overview, the application, some development reports, and compliance information with both the ESS DOZ 99-9C, and of course it has the plus comments in it that were received by Mr. Ford, and the response both separately and integrated together so that the commission can see what those responses were. By the time this evening is over, and I hopefully will not keep you here until tomorrow, but we do have a lot to present to you.
Unless you brought me something to eat, you're not going to.
No, but I tell you what, we could send out if we need to, because some of us haven't eaten since early this morning on this side of the podium either. We do have a lot to present, and we are keenly aware of the fact that there are some serious questions being raised by persons who are not particularly, they are opposed to this project. I think by the time this evening is over, we should be able to demonstrate to you that we have a superior design in the cluster development subdivision ordinance as meant by the subdivision ordinance. It's an AR1 agricultural residential district. That district would allow for a standard subdivision of 2 units per acre, and by using the cluster, we have increased the density only to 2.1 units per acre, which is consistent with all the other developments on Gills Neck Road. Within the context of the comp plan, this is an area that is called an environmentally sensitive development district overlay zone, or an ES1 district, which means that there are certain benefits and requirements that must be imposed upon the developer or the applicant. We will address those as we go through the evening. The state strategies map has this established as a level 3, which would permit this project. With the conditions that we propose and have submitted to Mr. Robertson, along with findings of fact, I think that you will be able to create or see that we have created for you a project that can be approved as it has been presented to you. The last thing that I want to point out to you is, as I've pointed out, we are aware that there is opposition to this application, and it's our hope that by the evening, the time the evening is concluded and our presentation is complete, that we will have addressed the issues that were raised in the correspondence that was submitted to you in opposition to this application. With those thoughts in mind, I'd like to call Mr. Ford to the podium, please. And Tom, I think you've been here before, but for what it's worth, we need for you to identify yourself, where you work, and what your educational and expertise background are.
I have a degree, and my name is Tom Ford. I'm with Land Design in Ocean View, Delaware. I have a degree in landscape architecture, and I'm licensed in the state of Delaware as well as some other states since 1982. Okay. I would like to be able to walk over and back, so I know you're trying to record, but I'll try and be...
It should pick you up, okay. Go ahead.
A brief history on this particular area, just to get everybody in sync here. We do have the town of Lewis, Route 1 corridor, Rehoboth, and we are showing some other connections that are going to be described later in the presentation.
Excuse me for a second, Mr. Ford. Would you mind turning that easel just a little bit this way? Because these folks are trying to see, and I think we... Okay, is everybody here? Can you? Are we all right? You guys can see?
Yes.
Okay. Does that help? All right, sir, go ahead.
Fine, stand on this side.
There we go. Great. Thank you.
The site is located just northeast of Route 1 along Kings Highway. There's a parcel of land here that we will be requesting to parcel out a portion thereof. And... basically, it's a piece of land that has been for about 150 years, been farmed all in this area. It's been intensely farmed. It's lands that are basically or primarily supply large agricultural demands. The land contributes to those demands as what they call in the industry an industrial packer operation, and they then supply national distributors with food, and as well as even not only in this country, but even outside of this country. Over the course of time, though, we have experienced other development in the area. Farming is getting a little more less appropriate with the other development that's coming into the area. And this particular landowner started back in the mid-'80s with his first development known as Wolf Run, which sits right nearly adjacent to the site where our application is tonight. It's a well-received community. It was done properly under all the regulations at the time and even probably overly sensitive to what those regulations were to the environment that was there. In the 90s, there was another development known as Wolf Point. Again, a well-received community. That is in existence right now. Next to this property here is a property that is under construction called Hawkeye. And basically these patterns here are just a response to the housing needs as opposed to the farming needs that are occurring in this area. So as was done in the past and is in the future, and I am addressing some of this with some of the opposition letters that were received, part of this parcel was portioned off. We had Wolf Run develop. Then another portion of the parcel was portioned off, and we had Wolf Point develop. Hawkeye was part of this bigger parcel here, and it was partitioned off, and we now have Hawkeye. Each of these three developments are fairly large lots, acre, 1 acre, 3/4 acre. There's a mixture of them as you move through. We're looking at the Senators to be a little more condensed, a little smaller, possibly more affordable than the lots that remain in these particular developments. As we move through the redevelopment of this sewer, this particular first project was on septic systems. When Wolf Point came to be back in the mid-90s, it was established that sewer was going to be needed to the area. The developer worked closely with Sussex County. They put in a major pumping station when they built this Wolf Point development to service basically the entire area that's here and even beyond, but I'll let Steve McCabe later at his point address the wastewater issues. So for some time we have been working toward the, and I've been involved in each of these, by the way, toward the redevelopment of the farmland into housing units. And tonight we're here with the focus being on senators. As each community was developed, Hawkeye undertook a much more stringent Gills Neck Road approach. We had to widen the road. We put in shoulders, which can double as a bike lane along that road. There is a landscape strip, and then there is a multi-use path that's also part of that development. That same improvement that occurred in front of Hawkeye will continue through Senators and on down the road of Gills Neck. Specifically for Senators, we do have a hairpin turn on Gills Neck. The plans do call for a flattening out of that curve for safety reasons. We'll provide widened travel ways, shoulders, and multi-use path. The opportunity also arose during the course of putting together these lands, a connection opportunity for what would be a regional benefit to the citizens of Lewis and the citizens of Rehoboth. They tried at one point to get a connection through Cape Henlopen, which failed due to environmental Gordon Pond and opposition from North Shore at the time. So that connection has never really been fully connected back in here, which would have made a nice triangulation for bikers, hikers, walkers, so forth. But this was an opportunity that was glaring. It has been discussed probably for a decade and a half with the Division of Parks and Recreation, DNREC. During the course of Hawkeye, they went ahead and gave the easement to make that connection up to this point. This particular piece, this last piece to connect to Gills Neck Road is really part of the Senator's subdivision, and we'll make that final connection. But in the interim, there is a temporary connection that runs the length of this property and then connects, because we didn't want to disrupt the farming activities and things that were going on currently. Anybody got a little water? I'm gonna lose my voice here.
You gotta bring your own.
Yeah, I did, but I forgot it.
Wait a minute, we got a fresh one here.
Thank you.
Cheers.
County will send you a bill for that.
All right.
That brings us on. Shorter, too. Shorter presentation.
Shorter presentation. This basically is a composite of the lands. It's showing Hawkeye, it's showing Senators, and it's showing the remaining piece of that land on that. The the plan, this piece, basically consists of 242 lots. We do have central water and sewer. The average lot is 10,400 square feet, which is about 38% more than the minimum, which could be 7,500 square feet. The areas, just for quantitative, the lots take up about 51% of the entire area. The right-of-ways take up about 17%, and the open space 32%. We have about 6 acres of wooded lot along the peripheral, and we have not included an area that has the 404 wetlands and state wetlands, which will go into a conservation easement. It's not part of this application. It's been taken out of this application. So this application has no 404 lands and no wetlands, but it does have some woodland, as I said, 6 acres, and the rest of it is upland, open crop field. We are going to have passive amenities and active amenities. We are looking at a pool and a bathhouse, potential veranda, a bus shelter. We're looking at walkways connected to just a park that are sitting at the heart of the development that can be enjoyed for throwing a frisbee or a ball. It's very walkable. It's very bikeable. It's very livable. And it connects to the bikeway. This is the connection that will finish the connection through Hawkeye and out to the curved area on Gills Neck Road. This plan calls for an extension of that as well, with a multi-use path and connections that are also planned on this. This has been through PLUS, and PLUS commented on imperviousness. They appreciated the buffers we've left from the wetlands. They appreciated the preservation of the forest stands that are there, and basically had no verbal objections to this project going forward. Tab 1, about page 6 of your booklet, we run through just a little photo essay, for those who haven't had a chance to be out on the site. And on page 6 is a picture of the hairpin turn, which will be widened out with a 600-foot radius that should soften and flatten that. There will be predominantly showing the farmlands. Photo 3 is a depiction of the fringe woodlands along the Pothooks Creek. Photo 4 shows an existing landscape buffer along Hawkeye that has just put in place. And photo 5 indicates where a new home was just built in Hawkeye. And you got to realize this is winter, and those leaves have fallen on some of the bald cypress and so forth. They're not dead, even though they may look like it. Photo 6 shows an agricultural well, which has a significant impact on the groundwater. At the time of year when groundwater is the lowest is when the crops were needed and when this well was in operation, and that will be put out of production for with the approval of this subdivision. Photo 7 shows the connection that will be put forth for the regional bikeway, which is called Junction Breakwater Trail. That's a photo showing it through Hawkeye. And photo 8 basically shows road improvements, how the Gills Neck Road has been widened. The shoulder has been placed. In this particular photo, you see a D-cell lane, and then you see a multi-use path. One of the other aspects of the developments that we've done on Gills Neck is setting back the entryways. Is about 150 feet setback. It lends a pastoral roadside landscape buffer. It minimizes the number of backyards that end up on county roads. And we try to treat each of those subdivisions where we can maintain somewhat the scenic character of Gills Neck Road, and thus that is replicated in the Senators as well. The other photos, just the temporary junction breakwater trail, and then an adjacent subdivision known as Breakwater, which is across the street. The during the planning process, we conducted field surveys of not only the land but of all of Gills Neck Road, so we could do the improvements. We delineated the woodlands. We had a professional wetland delineator. We had the survey capture that. And one unique aspect to this site is there have been archaeological finds. And we underwent a fairly investigative review to identify any high potential areas for archaeology. And what this plan represents is there were all sorts of grids put out on the site. Everything was dug, field observed, many holes test pitted, so forth. They did find a lot of what they call scatter. But where they identified that there could be more, or highly likely that there could be significant or insignificant, they can't say. It's just a high probability there may be archaeological areas here, here, And there's other areas on the site that are not shown on Senators that will come up in future application. But it's we then had them flag those areas. We had them surveyed, and that then is the amorphous lines that you see on the plans that we put no lots in, no roads in, and utilize them as just areas we're just not going to get involved with. In reference to I guess I was supposed to be using this to show that last thing. This does show the other archaeological area that's off the side of this plan. So we have these three areas that have been identified, and basically we've just stayed out of those. And then we have the tree line, which we're depicting, which we basically stayed out of that. And then we have 404 lines in blue, and then there's some state wetland lines down below that. The Gills Neck Road improvements, they're fairly extensive. We started this process with DelDOT July of 2004. So it's been 3.5 years since we've been dealing with DelDOT on Gills Neck Road and our thoughts on where these projects were headed. So this wasn't just done overnight. It's been a long process. It's still not complete. But there is significant improvements that the developer has agreed to, that contracts have been signed for design engineering and are currently underway. And they include a fairly extensive granting of lands. There'll be 20 feet along this area and 56 feet additional to the 50 feet that's there for the first frontage portion of this site. There'll be a boulevard, planted boulevard. There'll be turning lanes, protected lefts. There'll be D-cell lanes and X-cell lanes. There'll be the multi-use path, and they will all be landscaped, which is why the area given was adequately depicted so that we could landscape and prepare those areas with the idea that this bike route would be connected all the way up to the Kings Highway. It'll also be connected to the Hawkeye bike route, and Hawkeye then has its bike route. There are some missing links in it beyond those points, but this developer is creating that opportunity to do this connection, and without any funding from the Department of Transportation, would be on their dime to do so. But we're working on that still. Part of our planning process included the Delaware Heritage and Wildlife Service contact for endangered and threatened species. Their files showed no record of any in the area, specific area. They did, however, request that we stay out of the woodland area if at all possible, and we basically have honored that request. Cape Henlopen Open School District, we've coordinated for school buses, and locations. We've contacted utility providers to make sure we had electric and telephone. We had the water and the sewer. And those were all preliminary planning processes. We went through the PLUS process. I mentioned that Connie appreciated what we were doing with archaeological sites and buffers and wetlands. I have an extensive comment in the booklet under tab 2, I believe. And it's the third division in. And just to give an overview on that, there was question about impervious cover. We answered those questions. They were concerned about dedication of bikeways. That's been given. Their environmental protections included the buffers, the forest clearing. Originally, when we came in, we had 1.3 acres of the forest cleared. We took those lots and stormwater facilities out, changed the plan to accommodate. They are aware of the provisions for the DelDOT improvements, which DelDOT's comments are also in those PLUS comments that
support what I've said, that we were in continual cooperative process with them for the Gills Neck Road improvements. The some of the comments also addressed that we didn't have a lot of lots with open space. And when we did a count, we found 68% of these lots had open space that either occurred in the fronts of their property, in the rears of their property, along the whole corridors in here. That open space on this particular project by the environmentally sensitive district only requires 10%. We have about 32% or 31% in open space. We are accommodating that with active and passive recreation, buffers, landscape buffers. There is stormwater included in that. There will be parks included in that. On tab 3, we answer questions as required by code on the ESDDOZ, and we are looking at stormwater for quality. We have met with Jessica on that issue. We will be using BMPs. They are looking for infiltration to occur in the areas that we selected. We are looking at a partial area that would be a wet pond. There's, in addition to our site, and part of the DLDOT agreement is Gills Neck Road has no stormwater management presently existing. With all the improvements and so forth, we want to upgrade that and have a stormwater management capture area for it as well. So this particular illustration, and that's really what it is, it's land area set aside and still needs to be engineered, but predominantly would be much smaller in blue for the wet pond. The entire peripheral of this would end up being infiltration, so it'd be a combination of wet pond infiltration. Where it's necessary, we may employ bioswales. We've left openings in the in between some lots that if that needs to be engineered, we can employ bioswales, but we are looking at infiltrating underneath this park as well. As we go forward with the ESDDOZ criteria, we have water by Tidewater, wastewater by Sussex County. I went through the traffic improvements, and in addition to that, there is connectivity on the streets where we actually had to change lots on Hawkeye to get this connectivity worked out. And we are looking for connectivity for a future proposal that's been filed with the county and will be heard in January. We've answered questions on tidal and non-tidal wetlands. We have an average buffer of 160 feet to those tidal wetlands. There's no lot that has any wetlands contained in them. There's 36 acres of open space. We discussed historic and cultural resources. This subdivision roads will be to county spec, and they will remain private. We do believe it's a superior living environment from the standard 20,000 square foot lots with only 10% open space required. We feel we have an efficient use of infrastructure, we've expanded the buffers, and we've made ample opportunity for a walking, biking community. There are subdivision considerations in the second divide of tab 3, and there's 17 of those conditions. Most of them would be redundant to sit and say, so I'll try to briefly go through them. We do believe we've integrated this plan with the existing terrain and surrounding landscape. We are looking at the existing drainage features to use for our infiltration basins. As far as screening is concerned, we are looking at 30-foot perimeter landscape buffer around the residential area. It's predominantly adjacent to natural areas, so really the roadside becomes a concern, and there will be a screening effort as well between the proposed application coming before you in January, and we've left adequate space for that. I believe we've answered all the questions of the 17 questions in the subdivision consideration during question period, if anyone wants to pick on that, but for brevity, I'll move on. We believe we're in compliance with zoning. As for an AR1 agricultural residential district, as well as in the environmentally sensitive development area under a cluster application. The tab 4 basically runs through just some maps that were used early on. They identify Sussex County future land use map. The second sheet is the state spending and policy, which is level 3 predominantly. Zoning map is the next sheet, which shows adjacent developments and its appropriateness to consider this application. We have two MR subdivisions flanking this, as well as AR then to one side, which is Hawkeye. The densities on those MRs are near 4 units to the acre. The densities on Hawkeye are about 1.5 units to the acre. We're requesting 2.1. The aerial photo, there's a site plan in the booklet, there's site data in the booklet, there's a survey showing the subdivision of the senators out of the larger parcel in the booklet. On the next divide, we have tax maps showing its relationship to your tax map in Sussex County. We have the floodplain maps indicated with the subdivision. We have a water recharge map. We have a USGS quad map. We have a soils map. And we have a state resource area map, all indicated with the subdivision boundaries on those plans. As you near the end of tab 4, we have a letter from Natural Heritage and Endangered Species. We have a memo for the record on bus stop location with the Cape Henlopen School District. And the final piece of tab 4 was a memo of understanding to the Lewis Public Library that there would be $100 per lot sale, which would be a $24,200 donation at the end of those sales. In addition to that, in the conditions of the homeowner association, there'll be a $10 per lot per year annual assessment, which would give the library $2,420 each year, just as a demands that this particular subdivision may play on the library. This is not unlike what they've done to Hawkeye. Hawkeye, they selected the fire department, and the fire department is getting the benefits from Hawkeye. In this instance, we are looking at the Lewis Public Library. I'd like to jump to tab 6 and pick up the first 3 pages on the divide. And you're at a map that's called the Regional Pedestrian Bikeway Connections. And that just reinforces the connections that will occur with the pedestrians, the future connections that are being considered, as well as the blue line, which is the proposed multi-use connections that are associated with this project only. On the next page, we go to the project pedestrian bikeway connections. This project has over a mile of proposed multi-use paths. There's 5,700 linear feet. It has over 5 miles of proposed sidewalks. Typically, most roads have sidewalks both sides. There are exceptions. The entrance road, we felt no need for both sides. We put a multi-use path in, ran it down the entrance road. The interconnectivity section going to Hawkeye has one sidewalk, one side. And then there's a central boulevard called J.G. Townsend Boulevard here that will have both sidewalks and the multi-use path that will run down that particular one. But here we have only one side, and the entrance we only have one side. All other areas have been slated and planned for sidewalks on both sides. So it is walkable. The next page shows open space and the calculation that gets us to the 36 acres. The next page shows the amenity area blown up, indicating a pool house, pool deck, the pool. There'll be a gazebo for school bus stop. There is some parking available, and all the roads and pathways join at that point. As we move to the final section of tab 6, it's showing typical cross-sections of the roads, the plantings, the sidewalks, landscaping. They'll all be curbed and gutted, closed section. They do change depending on where they are, but typically it's a 50-foot, though the Senator's Boulevard that we're putting in is going to be 70-foot to allow for a little more plantings, a little more boulevard plantings and sidewalks to be put in. The names have already been through the assessment division, and verification of that's in the booklet. The tab 7 is just willing and able letters from Tidewater, Delaware Electric, Sussex County Wastewater, Verizon. The last tab is covenants and conditions, and there is a divide in the back that separates that from open space management plan, because there is a variety of different open space flavors here. Some need to be just managed for the stormwater capabilities, so there needs to be a plan for that. Others are for meadow areas, which would be a consistent with trying to make a preservation of the archaeological areas and things that are on the site. These would be turned back into meadows. There are buffer area deals. And then there's high manicured areas that would occur at the entrance and the activity area and this park area. So there is a variety of plantings that would use all native plant materials and grasses and so forth, but each has their own little specific maintenance issues. And that's the conclusion of my presentation.
A couple questions for you, Mr. Ford. Will you kind of to describe the economic benefits that be derived from a project such as Senator's?
We took it off. We looked at what building permits would cost. We looked at public safety fees. We looked at real estate transfer tax, wastewater connection fees. And when you take each of them times 242, you end up with about $12,500 per building lot. That equals just a little over $3 million in fees that would have to be paid to construct this project. And that would be the initial fees.
And would there be ongoing benefit to the county by way of property taxes or user charges?
There'd be additional transfer taxes that would occur for second time sales. There would be user tax for the utilization and sewer hookups, yes, and property taxes.
While I have you up here, Mr. Ford, there were a number of letters that were written to the County Planning Commission in opposition to this application. I'd like to take up a couple of those issues with you as they were raised in correspondence, and perhaps will be raised again a little later on this evening. One of the concerns that was raised was that there was some relationship with the other developments in this area that was being ignored by presenting this as a single subdivision in much in the fashion of a piecemeal application, that all of this was done to conceal the development of the adjacent proposed uses or projects. Can you address that concern?
I can appreciate the concern, because the public doesn't have access to all those meetings that we've had with DelDOT, all those access to all the meetings that we've had with the wastewater. It's not like one small spot, but if those agencies were called, they would all rest assured that they've been involved in the planning of the entire Gills Neck project. The PLUS process alone, we met with PLUS back in 2006. So it's probably been 20 months that we've actually been since we've been with PLUS. It's probably been 18 months that we filed this application with the county. So it's been out there in those areas that could have been looked up easily on the internet or so forth, or come into the county office.
Well,
And other adjacent projects would be identified as a part of the PLUS process, is that right?
Yes, and they the other two weren't quite ready to go in front of PLUS as of this project did. They are a conditional use as well as a rezoning, but we did meet with PLUS back in, I believe, March of 2007, so they've been on file since that point in time.
One of the concerns also raised by the opposition is that there are impervious surfaces being created by this project, and that as a result of those impervious surfaces, it will have an effect on the groundwater recharge or groundwater drawdown. Can you address that concern?
One of the salient facts of farming is its use of irrigation. And the wells that are out there are no small wells, and the irrigation consumption is rather large. And it happens at the most demand time in the summer that for the crops to get through July and August, as well as the community being more in place. And that has been going on for, I'd have to defer to Paul Townsend, but I'm going to say two decades or so, where they've been demanding that come down. Our plan is to not, once we construct, not to till that surface, which cropland is one of the worst situations for stormwater. On a rain event, you have soft soils in rows directly going down gradient. We are looking at, with stormwater and grasses and trees and vegetation, to stabilize that soil. It'll retain it. It'll give it more opportunity for infiltration.
And so the irrigation well will be removed and no longer be online?
The irrigation well will be not removed, but it'll be out of production.
And the water source for this project will be from what company? What?
Tidewater Utilities will be providing water to this project. Their production wells are a series of them. There's about five of them. They are in the book, and I'd have to look at it myself to get it, but there are about five of them that pump at different times. They're all interconnected on a central system, and that's what will be providing water to this site.
And those wells are not located on this
one? No, they're over by Plantations and Warrington Road and so forth.
One of the concerns raised in the correspondence was that stormwater management ponds should not be permitted, but rather there should be an application of bioswales or bioretention collectors to be required on this site. Has any consideration been given by you or the developers in this regard?
Well, we have met with Sussex County Conservation. I do think there might be a variety of different approaches. Bioswales are something that we have no problem using when appropriate in the right place. I think the state would rather see more infiltration occur. That's why we're stressing more on the infiltration. But there may be a bioswale opportunity or two. We did leave, like I said, in the planning areas to accommodate such. The bioretention is almost a naturally existing thing with the buffer of the trees, which we've not really disturbed, which is rich in organics. It can act as a buffer for materials that really would only leave the site off the backs of sites, and that would be only in the lower half of that portion of this development.
And this particular developer has used all three of these forms of stormwater management?
I believe they have. I believe they've done bioretention as well, as infiltration and wet ponds and bioswales.
And I guess the ultimate decision would be made by the state of Delaware?
Soil conservation. Yeah. They usually work hand in hand with the engineering of the project.
One of the comments that was received by the County Planning Office was that there are archaeological sites on this particular project, that they should be buffered, and that they are also located in a 100-year floodplain. Let me start with the last part of this first. Are there any archaeological sites in the 100-year floodplain?
I believe there's not. Let me. This site is not in the 100-year floodplain. This site has a tail end in the 100-year, and this site has a tail end in the 100-year, but an insignificant amount.
And if they are in a floodplain, what can you do about it?
They've been there for 1,500 or what? They've been there forever. They're going to stay the same as they are in their present condition.
And they can't be removed or disturbed, is that correct?
We have no intent. In fact, we're going to look for a condition on the homeowner association that there'll be a no dig, no probe, that the final site plan will have an easement area, a protection easement area here that won't allow the homeowners association to come in and 10 years later put a tennis court or something else on those open lands. They will be protected so that we don't encourage archaeological dig, but we don't want to bring them out. The state has asked us through the PLUS process not to make a big deal out of the archaeological sites. So they probably won't show up on the recorded plan when we come back in, should we be approved on the final.
But all of the archaeological sites will be in a non-disturbance area.
Yes.
One of the comments that was received by way of criticism of this project is that the Gills Neck Road can't take traffic, that there should be a traffic impact study, or that there will be interference with increased traffic that will affect the Delaware River and Bay Authority. Can you address those, please?
When we started the process with DelDOT, there was no criteria for a TIS on this particular application. However, with the future applications, and they knew they were coming, and a TIS was appropriate for them, a TIS has been performed on them. It's not been finalized. It has been presented. DelDOT's reviewing it. One of the reasons it's not been completed is because DelDOT has been doing their own internal highway capacity studies along the Kings Highway and in and throughout the Lewis area. So we are waiting for that report to come and finalize that report. The counts, though, of this particular development were included in the traffic impact study for the Governors and Towns and Village Center, which is the future application.
Am I correct that there was no TIS required for this particular project?
That's correct.
But it was done as a part of the overall planning.
They were included in the TIS of Governors, as well as Hawkeye and Cadbury and all other adjacent development and anything that they perceived to be future.
And for the benefit of all present, when were these submitted to DelDOT?
This was, the final was submitted. I mean, this has been ongoing for a while, but the final was submitted in May of 2006.
So this information has been with DelDOT for that long?
Since that time, yes.
There was an opposition comment to the effect that this particular project would have a negative effect on the infrastructure of the city of Lewis. Can you address that for us, please?
Actually, I think it's going to help the infrastructure of the city of Lewis by virtue of taking out the irrigation well and its productivity. We're supplying water from west of Route 1, so there's no competition for any water from the Lewis wells. We do have this, sanitary and wastewater component handled through Sussex County, so there's no competition or a demand that we're asking the city to pick up on this.
Thank you. Gentlemen, I'd like to have Mr. Ford stand down for a minute, have Mr. McCabe come up and give a couple of points, and as always, when we get done, we'll all be available for any interrogation. Steve? If you identify yourself for the Planning Commission, please.
Yes, I'm Stephen McCabe, professional engineer with George Miles and Buer, 400 High Street, Seaford, Delaware.
And are you familiar with the Gills Neck area in a professional capacity?
Yes, I am.
And how is it that you became familiar with the Gills Neck area?
First of all, through my experience in my previous employment with Sussex County, but also through being an engineer for LT Associates on this project.
And are you familiar with the way the wastewater treatment facilities have evolved in this particular area?
Yes, I am.
Would you mind describing that for the commission, please?
Yes, this project has a long history with Sussex County, going back to the planning studies that the county set forth under the West Rehoboth expansion area. It lies within an area under the current planning study that's called the Phase 4 area, and as indicated by this drawing in the green hatched area.
This whole green area is basically the lands of
Lingo Townsend, and this is the Louder Mitchell piece. But this is a map from 1999 from the Sussex County West Rehoboth Expansion Area Study, by which all the sewer is brought up to the Wolf Point Regional Pumping Station and then pumped down through the abandoned railroad right-of-way bed through force mains to the treatment plant at Wolf Neck.
So what I'm trying to convey is that this site's been planned for by the county for a long time. And this application is applying for 2.1 EDUs per acre. Under the county studies, capacity has been allocated for 4 units to the acre for this site. So it's roughly 50% of the sewer capacity that the county has planned for.
And all these public studies were public, is that correct?
That is correct.
Can you describe for the benefit of the commission the central water system that will be available here?
Right. The central water system actually is already available. There was a water extension performed by the developer with Tidewater Utilities, and it's approximately 6,000 feet of 12-inch force main was run from Kings Highway through Gills Neck Road to the existing Hawkside development, which is on the far side of the proposed application for senators. And the water line was already installed by the developer in property provided by the developer, and is sized and serviced to serve the senator's project and the future development.
And the provider of water will be who?
Tidewater Utilities.
And they're regulated by the Public Service Commission, Department of Natural Resources?
Yes, sir.
I have no further questions for you.
Thank you.
Thank you. I'd like to call Mr. Townsend up if you please. And will you identify yourself?
My name is Paul Townsend. One of the owners of LT Associates. Our offices are at 1240 Kings Highway, Lewis, Delaware.
And by education and experience, do you know anything about real estate development?
A little bit by experience.
And you've heard the comments that Mr. McCabe, myself, and Mr. Ford have made. Do you adopt those on behalf of the applicant this evening?
Yes, I do.
I got a couple questions for you, if you don't mind, Mr. Townsend. One of them is, tell me how hard it is to farm in this area anymore.
It's becoming increasingly difficult. We have traffic issues. We have huge harvesters, 44 feet long, 16 feet high, about 40 tons apiece. And we run them four in a row, about four or five pickups behind them. And we're running 2, 3 o'clock in the morning. We're paying overtime like nobody's business. It's difficult. Well, I mean, your office has had to defend us. I mean, we could run into and get sued. That's happened.
One of the comments that was made by Mr. McCabe and Mr. Ford were that you all have participated in public works projects in this area for the community. Can you tell me what that participation has been?
Well, one of the things we're working with the City of Lewis on now is a new water tower. They have limited open space for such uses in the city. Their wells are just outside the city, adjacent to a piece of property we own across from this site. And we're going to allow them to put up a 750,000-gallon water tank, small treatment building, 2 additional wells. They would like to take the well closest to Kings Highway offline because of nitrates that they feel may be leaching from our farm field across the road. And then they'll put 2 online a little bit farther back in the field, way in the back.
And you all have participated also in the bike path?
Absolutely. Yeah, Junction Breakwater Trail has been, you know, they were after us for a long, long time to do this. But until certain other things occurred, we didn't feel comfortable with it. One of the things we needed to do was get the wastewater treatment facility land to the county and the state. We didn't like the idea of a public three-way through all the private farmland. We're worried about poaching, deer hunters, things of that nature. That's not the issue anymore. 20 years ago, that was an issue. Today, it's not. And we have we've worked with them to get this path through. We even have a temporary alignment. And it seems to be real popular. I don't know. We like it.
Excuse me. One of the comments that we received from some of the opposition was about whether or not there had actually been any overall development plan of all of the various tracts that your companies own on Gills Neck. Can you describe for the commission how all of this has come together for an overall development plan?
Yeah, we started out here in about 1982 or 83. at home, in the office, just the family talking about what to do. And we actually had two farms where Wolf Point and Wolf Run are that were very non-productive. These particular farms are not non-productive. There's nothing wrong with these farms. They're just in the wrong place. If I could pick them up and move them, we would do that. But what we're trying to do is to sell these, pay a gob in taxes, and go buy farmland out farther west. And we've been doing that. We bought some in Harrington and some in Harbison, and we're looking at some other lands in Kent County to try and just remove the odorous. You know, we get yelled at all the time. I don't want to go into it. But the bottom line is we need to bring our heavy-duty operation out of here and move it west.
Of the projects that you all have on Gills Neck Road, what's the average density you have for all of them?
We run about one unit per acre.
And you continue to plan to do that with the exception of this being a 2 units per acre, right?
Yes, this was, we listened to some of the criticism, some of the sprawl comments. Now, the governor was down, looked at our subdivisions, talked with us one day, and, you know, got the impression that if we could put more people per acre, it would make the state happier. So we talked about it and talked about it, and then when we got to this site and discovered the extent of the Indians, as I call them, the archaeological sites, it began to push us further and further towards Gills Neck Road to stay out of these sites, which is what we always wanted to do. As we got closer and closer, we decided to explore smaller lots, and then we looked at the cluster ordinance and what we were doing, and they were almost the same thing. So we took that path.
Thank you, Mr. Townsend. Mr. Chairman, I'm going to make all of us available for any questions by members of the committee.
All right, sir. We thank you. We'll see if anyone has any questions for you. And we'll start with Mr. Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I do have an editorial comment to make. I appreciate very much the booklet provided by the applicant. It gave me a better perspective on what you're proposing rather than my having to visualize like I was trying to do with a previous presenter and not too successfully, I might add. But it does give me some interesting reading, and I appreciate Mr. Ford's comments to the plus and I'll share my favorite one first, then I'll move on to my questions. And my favorite one, Mr. Ford, was, we don't intend on complying by withdrawing our application. I saw the tongue-in-cheek, and I appreciate it, sir. Some points of clarification, if I might. What exactly acreage are we dealing with? I've seen a couple figures floating around. Some were off.
I don't know. If you read one of the opposition letters, it's 142 acres, which meant we picked up quite a bit.
I discounted that one.
The published notice shows 119.
Yes.
The correct answer is 114, and I have Tom
explain to you where 5 acres went.
I think the 119, at the plus process, we were at 119. As we moved from the plus process to the county, we rejiggled some things, and we have 114, I think 75 is the exact acreage, so it's almost 115. But the project is listed as 120, and the reason we're doing that is because we have an easement area here. We're not including this in our density. The subdivision of senators is 114.75. plus or minus, but the project is 120 because when we develop this segment, without this, we're still going to be developing outside of it. This land would give this project an easement, and it'd be a cross easement between these two projects as that stormwater runs. Remember, that stormwater is not just for senators. It will provide drainage area for governors. But it also was capturing all the Gills Neck Road. So we had Gills Neck Road, two subdivisions, and in addition to that, Breakwater and Cadbury had no outfall. So they needed an outfall. Now theirs is all enclosed. They treat their water on that site, all enclosed pipe, but it runs down this segment and would be contained within that easement. Now those easements have already been drafted and recorded for Cadbury and Breakwater.
So the short answer is 114.75 acres.
Yes, sir.
And does that include or exclude the Del Dot right-of-way and dedication?
So long, I can't answer that particular question. I don't think it includes it, but it may.
But that's something you'll check.
I can.
Okay, thank you. And going back to your stormwater management pond there on Governors, what happens if Governors isn't approved? What happens to your stormwater management pond?
It still stays because we still have an easement since the applicant is the adjoining control of that land as well.
So if the area that's called Governors isn't approved and remains farmland, that they don't mind giving up some of the farmland for your water pond?
They would have to by virtue of this plan.
Okay.
And we have that designated, too. It's 4-point-something acres. That's where you get the 115, and that's where you get up to the 120 as a project area.
Right, but as you stated, the 120 is not part of your density calculation.
That's correct.
It's a 114. It may or may not include the Del Dot stuff.
Right.
Okay. And I understand there's no 404 wetlands in your project. You know, that's all part of a conservation easement or something?
Yes.
And what's the closest distance from any of the lot lines to those wetlands?
Closest distance is 60 feet. And the furthest distance is like 500 feet. And what we did is we took one line off of each, the middle of each lot, down to the wetlands, and calculated the average at 160.
So it's 60 feet.
No. Well, the minimum.
Minimum is 60.
60 is the closest.
Because I noted that one of the comments from Plus had concern about lot 29 and 30 perhaps being into the wetlands.
No, they're not in the state wetlands. They come close to the back of the 404 lands.
But they're not. I mean, there's no wetlands in those lot lines.
No, they are not in the wetlands.
And they're at least 60 feet from those wetlands.
They're 60. The lots are 60 feet from the state wetlands. There's only one regulation on the books now. It's 50 foot from state wetlands.
I understand that.
Right.
How far are you from the federal wetlands then?
Those particular lots join those federal wetlands within 4 feet of them.
So they're essentially butt up to them?
They do.
Okay. And what lots might they be? Save me the trouble. Searching through your book.
There is lot 29, 30. Lot 31 touches. Those three.
So there's three lots?
Yes.
Okay.
And that, again, because they're oversized lots, we could allocate, shorten them out, and still maintain the density there, but have just smaller lots.
Okay. And what you know is apparent, and as you drive around Gills Neck Road and doesn't take much imagination to see everything that's growing up there. What interconnectivity besides walkways do you have between this, the Senator's, Hawkeye, and the proposed Governors?
Hawkeye's is right here. Then there's a Central Boulevard that would connect into Governors.
Is that a roadway?
That would be deemed a roadway, yes.
That one would be. What about the first one you pointed to?
This one here?
Yes.
Roadway.
That's a roadway, too.
It's a 50-foot right-of-way.
Okay.
And Hawkeye has left 50 feet as well, reserved, to make this connection happen.
I didn't have my magnifying lens, so I couldn't check on the little map I have here.
It's a 50-foot right-of-way, standard county spec. The connection to Governors is larger than that. I think that's a 70-foot right-of-way to accommodate the boulevard.
And in your preparation for tonight's presentation, what interaction did you have with the City of Lewis?
City of Lewis directly, I have not had an interaction. I believe, though, maybe the clients have spoken with members of the City of Lewis.
Let Mr. Townsend address that.
Please.
We met with Gilbert Holt and the new assistant city manager, Nancy Terranova. a week ago tomorrow, last Friday, for our last and final meeting on the water tower and everything else that they want to do out there. And we delivered this booklet to Mayor Ford the same day. I was not able to talk with him because he was in a city council meeting. But we see each other in the coffee shop all the time. I asked him if he had any questions. He said, no, that's that.
Okay.
That's it.
Thank you. I don't have any more questions at this time, Mr. Chairman.
All right, Burton.
Could I just see the bike trail? Just show me where the bike trail fits on this.
The one that's temporarily in existence, I'm going to turn this around for you, Mr. Burton, runs like this. The one that permanent trail will go across like that.
Yeah, the right now it's developed right through here, and that's on that like photo six right. Or so. Then it turns and runs along this line and down as a temporary. So it didn't infringe on the farming activities that are currently going on here.
And that will go
away.
That
will go away.
Okay.
That will become a landscape area. And that material here would create for the bikeway at that point.
Okay. Was there a JD done? Was there a jurisdictional wetlands line actually
It's in the process. The wetlands have been determined, they have been captured, and it's in the process to get a JD. The Army Corps of Engineer has been very difficult to respond to these JDs.
And one last question. On the archaeological dedicated land, I don't understand how that, you're going to keep it quiet, it's not going to be on the plan, it's there, but it's not there, and you can dig, you can't dig. And
let's pave over.
The folks that you hire, the consultants that you hire to analyze and sort of confine these sites for you so you know what you have left, tend to work very closely with the state of Delaware. And Faye Stokin was at this site along with our consultants from Height Consulting. Mr. Height actually passed away during this job, but his employees carried on. They want the sites protected, but they don't want them touched. They don't want them advertised. They don't want them necessarily fenced, but they would like people to stay the heck off of them. They don't care if they get planted in trees. They don't necessarily mind if they stay in meadow grass, and they don't mind if people walk on them. But generally, when people walk on them, they pick things up. We have arrowhead pickers all over the place out here, and they've gotten a lot of stuff, and they just walk out and go around and pick after a rain. And that's essentially what the consultants that you hire do. They walk around and look on the ground, dig a few holes here and there, make an assessment, and what we asked them to do was try and find the areas that had the highest probability of having artifacts that could be later excavated. And they confined these sites, and as Tom mentioned, those amorphous shapes, and then we designed around them. And we do have access, but I kind of call it quiet access. You know, you can stop at this road and walk into this site, but there's no gateway, there's no expensive fence. Same way here, you can access these sites through either of these two locations, and those folks are perfectly welcome to do that if they want to come and you know, check those sites out. But we're not supposed to really do much about them. Now, the one on the right happens to be ancient European remains. The one on the left is an ossuary for some Indians, and some have been excavated, and they're at the Smithsonian now, a long time ago.
And that'll be part of the Homeowners Association, that declaration of
we
don't go over there?
You know, I have to defer to the lawyers on this, but what I would like to do is deed restrict this property. No build, no dig. Walk. Walk your dog. Walk yourself. Enjoy nature, but don't do anything about it. We did a similar thing at Hawk's Eye in our park. No build, no dig, no paths, no cut, no trees, no nothing. You can walk through it and enjoy it. And we left this big buffer around the edge so the kids can fish in the pond. It's working out real nice.
The covenants will contain now the disturbance area. And I think what Paul's trying to say is you can't protect them by fencing it because you advertised it if you do that.
Right. I understand. Thank you. No further questions.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Kells? Oh, I'm sorry. I went through, I'm sorry, yeah, going this way. Excuse me, Mr. Gordy.
I just got a clarification. I read somewhere that said 98% of woodlands will be preserved. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay. That's all I have.
Mr. Smith?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Ford, as I was writing down questions, you were eliminating them. So I'm just curious, a letter from Natural Heritage and Endangered Species of 2 years ago yesterday requested if it was a year after their letter, and it's now been 2 years and 2 days, if they could be updated on this.
It's not in the book, but we did do that request.
Did you?
And we got a phone call from them saying, well, we have no other further information, and you've got your plus comments as well as your TAC comments, which also was a little more further along than that. But they said there's been no real change.
Thank you. You mentioned the TIS was submitted in May of 2006. Do you have an idea when you will get the response?
I think it's imminent.
Imminent.
But we were told we were going to get it in September.
If you could, so we can make sure.
It was indicated it was coming in September, but as all things are, there are other issues that come up. But I think it's imminent. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. And in the plus comments around the water resource protection area and the 20%, your response says, it is our intent to primarily infiltrate the 2-inch storm event.
That's correct.
What is that? What is the 2-inch storm?
That's quality control. 2-inch storm, and everything less than that makes up 90% of the precipitation that ends up on land. And then you have your catastrophic events, which are not held on site for infiltration. The basins will be made for the 2-inch events, which is 90%, but the outfall and the flow from that will be built to 100-year outfall protection, because then you want to control the release from the site at that point.
Thank you.
All right, sir, thank you. Now, Mr. Counts.
I guess I'll just make one suggestion. I noticed in your layout you've got some significant interconnectivity ideas, which I like. My experience with those is, though, that when it comes time to actually make the connection, it's very difficult because the community doesn't like. They've gotten used to having the open space there, and people planted grass in the right-of-way and things like that. In the DLDOT new standards for connectivity, they have some guidelines pertaining to signage on the future connectivity of the roads. And I noticed when I was out there today, there's absolutely no sign, a little bit of gravel and some space, but no indication that there's really going to be a road there. And typically, if you put a sign there notifying people, it helps with the acceptance of the interconnectivity at the time when it is needed. So that's the only suggestion.
Thank you.
Mr. Abbott, no questions. Counsel?
None at this point, thanks.
All right, sir. Well, gentlemen, we thank you if you'll kindly. But do you have any summary comments?
I just wanted to summarize, if you'll permit me, Mr.
Please,
Chairman.
Go ahead.
We have submitted to Mr. Robertson copies of proposed conditions and covenants that are applicable to this particular project, and they do provide for the NASH or the standard subdivision review activities that Mr. Robertson would be looking for, including all of the homeowners association obligations and assessments, architectural standards, and protection of the various areas that we have described for you this evening. I would point out to you that we have submitted to you, and Mr. Ford has reviewed with you, the plus comments, the ESSDOZ requirements, the 99C requirements. And for the benefit of Mr. Johnson, I'd challenge you to find me another project that has 5 miles of sidewalks, Mr. Johnson. 5 miles. That's a lot of sidewalks. I think that we have presented to you a case that justifies the application being granted. Thank you very much. 5 miles. 5 miles.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Johnson was asking if there was going to be a basketball court incorporated in this.
Saltwater sidewalks.